all French girls know how to tie a scarf.
Yes.
Like they throw it this way, that way, around their head, around their ponytail, whatever. They always know how to tie a scarf. But everything they do just seems so effortless. They always have this effortless style.
Exactly.
And I think it's the same way with a fragrance, you know, they just always smell just right.
Welcome back to Scent World, a show that explores the power of expressing yourself through scent.
Hello and welcome to Scent World. Today we are here with Nicole Miller, a trailblazer in the fashion world. You may know her from her gorgeous, gorgeous designs, or if you're me, all of the cool girls in your high school wore her dresses to prom and homecoming, and they were so known for their elegant, bold designs with beautiful patterns and embellishments that really gave it that signature Nicole Miller touch. And if you didn't know, she's also been a judge on America's Next Top Model, Miss Universe, and Miss USA, which is amazing to me because I love reality TV. So it was really cool to see you on ANTM. How are you doing, Nicole?
Good, good, good. Yeah, those were all a lot of fun. I really enjoyed all of those.
Yeah. And I mean, your on-camera presence was so warm and welcoming there. I'm already excited to get into this interview with you. I guess just to kick things off, I would love to hear about some of the scent memories you have or some of the fragrances that you've worn throughout your life that made a really big impression on you. Do you remember what one of your first fragrances was?
I think the first one that I really remember really liking was this fragrance by Cacharel. You know, the clothing brand Cacharel?
Yes.
It's a French clothing brand. And I used to love that. And then I just remember in high school, I used to use all that Bonnie Bell like lip gloss and everything. And I think they had a fragrance too. I think they had a cologne, but maybe it was just very limited. But the Cacharel was like always my go-to.
Was that, I think it had like butterflies on the cap or something like that.
I think so. I think yeah. You're right. Yeah. I can't believe you remember that.
I feel like, yeah, just because it was so sculptural. And I remember seeing it like on my mother's dresser and it was such a scent of a certain time. And Bonnie Bell Skin Musk, I believe, was one that you had referenced because that one is very, very notable too. I remember seeing the ads and everything for it.
Yeah. I love that brand. Yeah.
I hear that you have a special connection to Chanel No. 5 as well.
Well, my mother is from Paris, of course.
Yes.
And so there was always a bottle of Chanel No. 5 on her dresser. And that's all she ever wore. She never wore anything else. So I grew up with that. So it was always like my baseline. So, of course, I would sneak into her bedroom and steal it sometimes if I was going out, dab a little bit on myself.
Oh, I love that. Playing in mom's dresser. So I'd love to kick things off with talking about your incredible fashion career. I feel like the Nicole Miller look is so timeless, but also very current. When I was referencing some of the celebrities you've dressed and some of your past runways, like you can kind of tell at what time period this runway had taken place, but there are certain things about your designs that are very timeless and classic and really just like stand the test of time. How do you go about developing that look and what do you think makes it so classic?
I mean, I feel like not everything I do is classic, but the classics seem to last the best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always did runway shows and we did the more avant-garde clothes in the runway shows. But then in between the runway shows, we did more classic clothes or we would do like maybe more of the bridesmaid or the prom or that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And I don't know. It was always a combination of both. And we always tried to do enough of the like more avant-garde so we would get the press on it from the fashion show. And then I guess a lot of the classics were more the bread and butter. But I felt like they were always special. Like I felt like they didn't look like anybody else's. I always made them a little bit unique. And I got very well known for all the, you know, the tucking and the ruching.
Yes.
And that became quite a signature of mine. But people tell me all the time, they've hung on to my dresses for 20 or 30 years and they still wear them.
Yeah. I mean, I would. And I feel like I was so taken with your story growing up. As you said, your mother was from Paris and your father's American and he is an engineer. And there was a quote that you had in a previous interview where you said that you kind of make clothes with an engineer's mind. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I've always been very technical. So, and, you know, certainly I went to design school and mm-hmm. I made a lot of patterns and I knew how to do pattern making. So very often when I had an idea, a lot of times, you know, I would have to show the pattern maker how to engineer it because they couldn't figure it out. So I feel like I always have that in my mind, how to get the dress made. So I was never giving out something that can't be made, which I think a lot of designers have an idea, but they don't know how to get it made. But I could always like help get it made and help figure it out. So, I mean, I could just always see the pattern out flat. So I always knew how to engineer everything.
That's awesome. You're like tapping into the left brain and right brain. And it's just interesting too how your parents have influenced so much of what you do. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like to like grow up between the American culture and the French upbringing that your mom kind of instilled in you?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, like my parents never got each other's sense of humor. So it was always... It was always funny growing up because my mother would make a joke. My father wouldn't get it. My father would make a joke. My mother wouldn't get it. So it was always like a little bit of a disconnect between the French and the American. But my mother taught us French. So I'm very thankful for that. It's been, you know, a real advantage my whole life speaking a second language. Mm-hmm. And also it's helped me learn other languages too. So, so that was great. Even though when I was little, it's just like, you know, we'd say, don't speak to us in French in front of our friends. We'd be like all embarrassed, like, don't speak to us. But, you know, at home, we didn't care. But so that was a great advantage. And I think it was great having like, you know, both sides, you know, having the American side and the French side. And I got to go to school in Paris too. So I went to a French haute couture school in Paris. So I feel I had like the education of both. You know, I had the fine arts education and design, and then I had the French couture background.
And it was just kind of like the perfect combination of worlds to kind of create the Nicole Miller that we know today. At which point in your life did you decide like design is it for me? Like I want to go and do this.
Well, I was always making my own clothes from pretty early on. So, I was always had that design mentality and I would always go and buy like a Butterick pattern and change it and redesign it and make it my own. So, pretty early on, I just was pretty determined to go become a fashion designer.
For sure. And then that kind of led you to going to haute couture school in France?
Well, yeah. First, I went to Rhode Island School of Design, and then I kind of rigged up my own exchange program. And so I did the haute couture school in the middle. And then I graduated from RISD.
And then for your first fashion show ever, you had Naomi Campbell, Linda Evangelista, and so many iconic names walking for you for your first fashion show. Can you kind of set the scene for me and what that felt like?
That was really amazing because, first of all, everybody was telling me, oh, you could never get those models. They were, you know, too impossible. And it was right at their heyday. I mean, that was like the pinnacle of their success was like that year I had my first fashion show. And I managed to get them all. And we had the front cover of Women's Wear Daily, and we had spreads in Vogue and Elle and everything. And the show was a huge success. And it was the first time Linda Evangelista had cut her hair. So I think my show was the first show where she had chopped her hair off and dyed it blonde.
Oh, wow. And that was like quite an iconic look for her. So that was the birth of it.
Yeah. So she kind of debuted it on my runway.
It looked like such a fun show, too. I was looking at archival images and everything. It looked like there was just such a fun energy and everybody was having a really good time.
Well, you know, back when the models used to smile. It's like now they just, you know, go poker face down the runway.
They have to smize, as Tyra taught us, right?
Yeah, she was sassy on the runway. She was great.
And then you also went to design costumes for Cyndi Lauper on her world tour. I mean, does it get any more iconic? Can you talk a little bit about that experience and what that was like for you?
Well, I've dressed her multiple times. Sometimes she's borrowed runway clothes and some things we made custom made for her. I made some custom made things for her when she was playing at the Garden and, you know, various tours. Yeah, like a bunch of different times. So she was like in the showroom all the time. That was really funny because one time we were getting ready for the fashion show and we're at the office and it's like 10 o'clock at night. And she calls me and she goes, I'm outside. Come downstairs. You need a break. And she was like in a limo with a couple of girlfriends and, you know, we drove around the city and drank champagne for a couple of hours.
Oh my gosh, girls really do just want to have fun, don't they?
I know, and she just thought I needed a break from like, you know, the grind, which was so sweet of her.
That is sweet, and she was so right. How collaborative was she when it came to creating these looks? Because I feel like you both are so creative, and her looks, there's so much of her personality and like knowing your designs, there's a lot of your own special aesthetic in it?
Well, you know, it was different at different times. I mean, sometimes she'd have a clear idea. She'd say, this is exactly what I want. This is what I want and whatever. And then sometimes I'd have an idea and like, why don't we do this? You know, it was, mm-hmm. it was always a collaboration. But there was a few times like she'd had a vision that she just, I remember one that she wanted this little boy suit one time, like a crop pant, little jacket. And she knew exactly what she wanted. So, you know, I added some details and color details and special touches to it, but she had this like clear idea from the get-go.
That's amazing. Do you have, I know it's like having to pick between a favorite child, but do you have like a favorite look from that tour that you refer to sometimes?
Well, you know, there was actually, the funny thing is she wore a dress that Giselle wore in the fashion show. And I don't know how that played out because Giselle's like 5'10 and Cindy's more like my height. But she wore it and it looked fine. I have pictures of both of them in the same dress.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. And then also, I love that you designed Barbie dolls. Like, it is the year of Barbie. All of this is coming back. And one of them was the City Shopper Barbie in 96. I had that right. doll. I was not allowed to play with her because she was too fancy. She is still in the box. Can you talk a little bit about that experience designing a Barbie doll and how that came to be?
Oh, that was so fun. We actually did two Barbie dolls. I don't remember which one came first, but I remember then I would have to go do these personal appearances for Barbie, for the Barbie doll. And people would line up around the block. I mean, there'd be 250 people at least waiting to get their Barbie signed. And yeah, I know. And a lot of people just don't take them out of the box. You know, they want to keep them intact. So they keep them, you know, in the box. Or they would just open up the box a little bit and make me sign the leg or something.
That's so funny. What was the creative process behind that? Were they kind of just like, this is the idea and we want to see some designs that align with it? Or was it kind of like,
oh, no, no, it was totally up to me.
Oh, amazing.
I don't think they gave us any parameters at all. No. Of course, mine had red hair too.
Oh, nice. I read in an interview that when you were doing that, you actually hadn't, because your mom wanted you to play with French dolls, or you had French dolls growing up. So Barbie was kind of like a new challenge for you.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. But yeah, my mother always got our dolls from France. So we always had these French dolls with French names, you know, and I would go, oh, I want a Barbie, Mom. And she's like, oh, you're not getting a Barbie. So I guess I had to make my own, right?
Exactly. And you did. And I still have her. And, you know, she's never allowed to leave the box because I don't want to play with her too hard. So with your French upbringing on your mom's side, what are your thoughts on like the whole French girl beauty vibe? I feel like I see it all over TikTok. It's been a conversation for a while. And there are so many ways to like lean into the French girl beauty theme. And I mean, what your perception is on it, if people are doing it right, or if that's kind of like the aesthetic that you grew up with.
Well, you know how French girls, all French girls know how to tie a scarf.
Yes. Like
all those French girls, they just do the right thing with a scarf. You know, they throw it this way, that way, around their head, around their ponytail, whatever. They always know how to tie a scarf. But everything they do just seems so effortless. They always have this effortless style. And it just, you know, they throw it on and it's like totally chic. And, you know, I just feel like they have this like, you know, sensibility that is just innate.
Exactly.
And I think it's the same way with a fragrance, you know, they just always smell just right. They don't, and they never wear too much.
That was actually my next question. Like, what is the French way of wearing fragrance versus the American way? Because like I said, I'm a spray and walk through girl. I was, you know, raised in the States. So I live in excess in that way. But like you said, French girls kind of know the right amount to do.
Right, right. Yeah, I think they're just very, you know, controlled and they just know when to stop.
Exactly. So with all of these amazing things swirling in your fashion career, at which point did you decide, hey, I'm going to launch fragrance next?
Well, you know, I brought like three of my old fragrances, but we've had, you know, like five or six fragrances up till now. And the very first one, which we called Nicole by Nicole Miller, which came in like a little pouch. And it was very, I forget what year it came out, but probably early 90s or something. And it was kind of, vanilla was really a popular note back in those days. And so it has a lot of vanilla notes to it. But I still love this fragrance today and I still wear it a lot.
I actually have it right here if you want to smell it with me.
We
go a little bit in depth with the notes and everything.
So good. You have one too. Right.
Perfect. I do. And I must say, like, she is hard to get your hands on. Everybody wants this fragrance. She is in high demand. And like, it's a gorgeous bottle. That looks gorgeous just sitting on your vanity.
Yeah, I'd like that. It was supposed to be just like a jewelry pouch.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. I'm going to spray it on this card because I forgot my blotters. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that one. And I never get tired of it. That has done really well. And it's been reissued several times. No, we didn't reformulate it. It got remade.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, like, I've smelled this before growing up and it really does take you back there.
Anyway, I just always love this and I love the bottle and I never tire of it.
And it smells very floral when you first spray it on. And then I'm starting to smell some of the vanilla notes coming through.
Yeah, it's sort of like the vanilla's more at the bottom.
Yeah, I love that because sometimes I feel like people have a very singular idea of vanilla, right? Like you say vanilla and they're like, oh, I don't like that. But this is just such a sophisticated take on it.
It's not overwhelming. Yeah, it's not overwhelming.
Oh, that's beautiful. Who is the Nicole Miller by Nicole Miller type of gal? Like, did you have a specific personality in mind or was this kind of like an homage to certain notes that you personally like?
Well, that was like my little black dress.
Yeah.
So she's my little LBD perfume. And I think she's, you know, got the longevity and the classicness and lasts forever. She's timeless.
She definitely is. And I could see her being very well received, like in the daytime, in the boardroom even, but just kind of like giving an extra touch of sex appeal to a low neck LBD at night. So some of the notes in it are plum, mandarin orange, peach, bergamot, carnation, honey, tuberose, orchid. There's a lot of beautiful notes in this.
And a lot of things in it.
Yeah. The vanilla is definitely there, but I like how it doesn't overtake any of these other beautiful notes. They work very well together. What does it feel like for you to smell it now, years after creating this masterpiece?
Well, I never get tired of this one. I really don't, you know? And I have bottles of it at home in the city. I have a bottle of it in the country. So, you know, it just depends what I'm in the mood for. But I do wear it a lot.
For sure.
Of course, now I have too many to pick from.
Yeah.
We did this men's scent, which is unbelievable. It's just kind of like lemon and leather.
Oh,
it has a great smell. And the box and the bottle are amazing. So I wanted to do like distressed corrugated cardboard. So the box is corrugated cardboard and the bottle looks like distressed and all crumpled corrugated cardboard and it's amber color. And it's just the coolest. I mean, we still get requests all the time, people trying to find it.
Oh, really?
But that was really successful. And it's all my husband wears. I have a stash I keep for him. Yeah. So he still wears it.
Oh, amazing.
But it's really excellent. And it just has, you know, it just had a great masculine touch to it and the look of it and everything. It just came out so perfectly.
Mm-hmm. And lemon and leather, that like you wouldn't think that those two things would go together, but that's kind of like the duality of like the uptown, downtown. I love how you play with kind of just these things that juxtapose against each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, well, that one definitely did it. And that was like, that was really cool. Loved that one.
And then you have honey and apple featured as notes in that fragrance. You wouldn't think those would go within the composition. Can you speak a little bit about that?
You know, it came out very kind of spicy smelling. You know, the whole combination, it just, there was like a lot of different things in it, but it just has this, it smells spicy to me and just spicy and rich and masculine, but not overpowering. So the honey and apple were nice touches too.
Very cool.
Kind of like a cidery touch, you know?
So now we're going to spotlight your newest fragrances, Nicole. We're going to spotlight the 4-piece set. We have a few of them on Scentbird, and I'd love for you to go into each of them and tell me about their personalities. There's Lueur de Ville.
Lueur de Ville, which is the light of the city.
Okay.
And then this is the Nectar de Pêche, you know, the peach nectar.
Yes.
Light of the city.
And then you have Mystique and Sirène.
Sirène, yeah. Mystique and Sirène. And Sirène is the most floral of them all. It's, you know, it's got like rose and lily and more floral scents. And this one, like I think it was the fruitiest one. And the L'Eau de Ville is kind of a combination. It's got like jasmine in it and like red currant and berries and vanilla. This one has vanilla in it too.
And what is the personality in each of these? Because I know you already said Nectar de Pêche is kind of like vacation, very fruity and kind of like a getaway. What is the personality in L'Eau de Ville?
Well, that's more of like the city fragrance. Okay. I feel like it's like the more uptown, you know, going out, sort of more the dressy, you know, dressy dress fragrance. This is, you're going to wear your garden party dress or your beach sarong or something, or this is like very tropical.
Got it.
This is more like, you know, you're going to get dressed up and go out.
Okay. And who is the person that you would have in mind when you spray on Mystique?
That one is a little more fruity too. And I would say that's more of a beach one. And I think the Sirene being more floral, that's more of my city fragrance also. So I put Sirene and L'Eau de Ville kind of in the same category.
Oh, okay.
And then the Nectar de Pêche and the Mystique kind of are in the same category.
I love that. It's very different from a lot of the fragrances that are out there. And it's a nice mix of floral and fruity. But I also like how you kind of play with the uptown versus downtown mentality of it all.
Well, you know, that's what I always say. I always say I'm the uptown downtown girl because, yes, like I live downtown and I hang out uptown, or, you know, and I always have that contrast in my clothes. Like I do the good girl, bad girl thing a lot, where you are pretty dressed with a leather jacket. So I always like to do the contrast. So I tried to keep that personality thing going in the perfumes too.
For sure. Have you ever tried layering any of them, giving them some like uptown, downtown, like hybrid?
I'll put two fragrances on in the same.
Yeah,
night.
I mean, that's.
I like a blend. Sometimes I'll put two on together.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, one of the reviews here says that, well, under Nectar de Pêche, which is one of the more popular ones, she says that Maya P says she absolutely adores this light, sensuous scent, not too explosive, and carries a lingering scent to honor a compliment. Nicole Miller never disappoints, from her apparel to clothing and even her fragrances.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. It was very trendy right now for the whole peach moment, but do you think Nectar de Pêche is more uptown or downtown?
Well, I was saying it was more beachy.
Oh, got you. Yeah, and the bottles also. Can you hold them up again? I want to see. Because I don't. Oh, I wanted them here.
I love
but,
the bottles. The bottles are all ombre. They go like dark to light. And well, the Sirene one is the most obvious. It kind of goes blue to cranberry. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of light pink to dark pink. And this one is like sort of pinky to orange.
Yeah, those are beautiful.
Yeah, I like that they're totally round, which I think is a cool shape.
It is. It's very modern. What was the creative process like in kind of coming up with a packaging design that expressed the juice inside, basically?
Well, I wanted to do something different because, well, you know, I have like my three bottles from before here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this one was the pouch. This one is a very modern, sleek bottle. And then this one was with Celtic knots. They were all like more decorative. And so I wanted something like cleaner this year. I didn't want anything so decorated. And I liked the idea of playing with the colored glass. So I don't know. That's what I was in the mood for. I just wanted to, you know, have them really stand out differently from what we'd done before.
For sure. Mission accomplished. So people wear fragrance in so many different ways. What is your application method? Are you like a spray and walk through kind of gal? Or do you tap the wrist? Do you tend to put it on your clothing?
I've never done the spray and walk through thing.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I didn't realize that was such a big thing. But yeah, all the girls at the office are telling me that's what they do. But no, I was always the behind the ear type girl.
Oh, yes. That's what they say, to go for the pulse points. And behind the ear is a good one.
Yeah. So I do that. And sometimes I do a little bit of wrist, you know, so I go back between behind the ear and the wrist.
Amazing.
But I think behind the ear is really good, especially, you know, you go to a party and somebody kisses you on the cheek or whatever, and, you know, they smell your fragrance.
That's so smart. Yeah, because everybody does the mwah, mwah on each side. Give them a little extra. So as a designer, do you tend to coordinate your fragrance with your outfit, or is it kind of like you put on the outfit and then decide?
No, I don't usually plan it with my outfit, but sometimes I do. Like if I'm going to a special event or something, and then I might say, okay, I'm going to wear that fragrance that night. But I think, you know, in the morning, it's more like my mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really pick my outfit the night before. So sometimes I do, but and I know what I'm going to wear. Like last night, I picked my outfit. But
yeah.
Like if I just get up and I go like, oh, what do I feel like wearing today? And then that sets me in the mood. And then I might decide my fragrance after that.
Okay. So it kind of complements your style in that way.
Right. Exactly.
So since you've started out in fashion, what do you think is the biggest change you've seen in fragrance? Because you've created a ton and there's always change happening. And I kind of see the change within not only the bottle design, but within the scents and the compositions.
Right. Well, I know. And it's such a crowded room these days. There's so many scents. But I think there's been a trend towards lighter scents, you know, lighter. And I see a lot of scents are clear, you know, very light colored. Like before, they used to be like more. My older scents are all like kind of amber and gold. Mm. Well, one of them is clear, but I feel like everything's kind of taken that, you know, clear direction and lighter, you know, not so heavy. Back in the day, everybody liked things like Giorgio, you know, which was a, you know, amazing perfume, but it was, you know, it was strong. So I think the trend has gone much lighter.
Yeah. And that's kind of expressed in your new line of scents where you have a few different ways to express like this lighter, airier version of Nicole Miller.
So this fragrance, which was my second fragrance, was called Nicole. It was a big departure from the first fragrance, which was like the soft jewelry pouch. And this, I wanted it to be really modern and sleek, but it kind of almost looks like a mannequin in a way, even though it's just very angular and not really like a body, but it just kind of evokes the feeling of, you know, a female, I think.
Yeah.
And two-tone jewelry was really popular at the time. So this is like silver with a gold cap. So I thought that was a really nice modern touch. And this just comes off. And this is much more florally than the other one.
Okay.
Needs to dry down a bit. And I think this is very versatile, where the other one is more intense. Mm-hmm. And this is just, you know, easier to wear and more subtle. So I'm a big fan of this, but like I said, the intense fragrances seem to do better at that period in time.
Oh,
so I almost feel like this might do better now than it did then.
It might. But, when did this come out, Nicole?
I'd say like, you know, mid-90s.
Okay. That's interesting too, because I remember in the mid-90s, I was personally into some of the lighter florals and like aquatics were also having a moment. So it was trendy for then, but I guess people weren't ready to give up like the heavier florals that they were wearing.
Yeah. But anyway, so I thought this was really nice and I loved the packaging and I loved the box, which is also like the silver and copper.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. So,
yeah, I thought that was really nice. And so after that one, we moved on to this one and I just have the small version, but I thought this was adorable. This is our Celtic Knot little bottle and it's got like the braid on the front and it's got a Celtic knot on the cover.
Oh.
And it came in this little pouch, which I thought was so, you know, little box with a cushion. I thought it was so cute. And now this one is much more fruity. And this is maybe closer to the ones that we just did.
Okay. And you said that people have called this fragrance in particular Frenzy, but then they dropped the name for some reason.
Yeah. It was called Frenzy. And I've seen it on the internet still being called Frenzy. But I think what happened when I think it would debut at Saks or something, and somehow the powers that be decided to just make it Nicole Miller and not Frenzy. So it doesn't say Frenzy on the box, but I know it's out there on the web. But this one I really like a lot.
And you said it's a bit fruitier than the previous?
Yeah, but it's not as sweet. Like this Nectar de Pêche is much sweeter. This is not sweet at all, but this I really love. And, you know, it's funny. It reminds me, there was this fragrance I absolutely adored, and it was from Bendel's, and it was a limited edition. So when Bendel's had opened up a new store on they'd moved from like 59th Street, I think, to Fifth Avenue. And they put out these editions of these fragrances, limited bottles. And my friend was like, you know, was like the store manager or something. And so he got me one of these limited editions. I still have it today.
Oh my gosh. I bet that's worth a lot now because Bendel's isn't around anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, there's not much left in the bottle, but I mean, they're not the same, but it's the same type of fragrance.
Got it.
And I always loved that. And this always reminds me of that. But yeah, made me sad that I ran out of that one.
Oh, well, at least they discontinued the frenzy, or we're calling it frenzy, I guess. I don't know what everybody else is calling it.
So those are the three that we did. And until we came up with this like four combo today, but you know, I love these new bottles, and I love the cleanness of it and the modernness of it. So, and I think they all smell really fresh.
They're gorgeous. I can't wait to get my hands on them. Do you think that as you've been creating fragrances, like the evolution of them kind of aligns with your own fragrance tastes?
I think so. I mean, I mostly have been wearing my own fragrances. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, every once in a while, somebody will give you, you know, like, you know, one of those Le Labo fragrances or something, or you get them as a gift, whatever. So you go, okay, I'll try this for a while. But you know what happened to me is like, you'd wear something and people go, oh, you're wearing that or whatever. And I don't like it when people kind of can guess what you're wearing.
Exactly.
I like them to say, what are you wearing? You know, not like, oh, you're wearing that because they've smelled it too many places.
I know. So, like everybody's wearing that one Santal 33. So it's like not even.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody gave me a bottle of that one too.
It smells beautiful, but it's also, when I lived in Brooklyn, like Brooklyn smelled like Santal 33. It's a beautiful scent, but like you said, you don't want people to know that. You want them to be like, oh, what are you wearing? That's beautiful.
Did I tell you the story, my Liz Taylor story, my Elizabeth Taylor story?
Oh, my gosh. I would love to hear your Liz Taylor story.
I got invited to my really good friend was her interior designer and is best friends with her and hangs out with her. And he goes, you know, Elizabeth is shooting her commercial for White Diamonds. And it was over on some boat in L.A. I don't know. It was like some big boat. And so I said, sure, I'll do that. That sounds fun. You know, I'll go hang out with you. And he goes, but, you know, Elizabeth really likes presents. So could you bring her something? So I brought her a scarf, which she absolutely adored. She loved it. And so we stayed with her all night while she shot like her commercial. And, she, you know, it's just amazing to see her in action because she was so poised and so composed. And she went through like, you know, take after take till she got it perfect. And she would say, oh, no, I can do it better or whatever. And then I got my picture taken with her.
Oh my gosh,
which
amazing.
I treasure my
Wait,
picture.
Wait, you have, oh my gosh. That's an amazing picture.
I think it's my favorite man celebrity picture is with her.
Who is the best smelling celebrity that you've met in your expansive career? I'm sure there are a few.
You know, I'll say Elizabeth.
Yeah, of course. She smells like White Diamonds.
Exactly. But it's hard to discern. And, you know, it happens very often with celebrities. I don't end up dressing them myself because they're working with a stylist and I send the clothes to L.A. because so many of them are in L.A. and not in New York. But, you know, I've dressed my share of them. But anyway, you know, unfortunately, I don't always work with them when we're dressing them.
Yeah. Do you have any standout red carpet looks that are some of your favorites? There are so many good ones.
You know, one year I was like obsessed with Angelina Jolie and Joss Stone. They were like my two favorite people out there. And, you know, one day this girl comes by my office and she goes, oh, I was just looking at People magazine and Angelina Jolie's wearing your dress. And I go, well, how did she get my dress? And she had, when she was on stage for the Mr. and Mrs. Smith premiere, when she and Brad Pitt were, everybody was wondering if they were together or not.
Yeah.
And my celebrity dresser in LA had sent her the dress and nobody knew she was going to wear it to the last minute. So she wore that. And I went to the airport. She was in every magazine, every tabloid. Oh my so that dress was everywhere. So that was pretty cool. And then one day I'm watching like some fashion awards, something, and I see Joss Stone and I go, oh, I'd really like to dress her. And I go, oh, she's wearing a dress that almost looks like it could be mine. And then I get closer and I go, it is my dress. But anyway, in the end, I did get to dress both of those people multiple times. And Beyonce also. Love Beyonce.
I was going to say, Beyonce, that look was amazing.
Yeah, she's worn quite a few of my things. So,
well, thank you so much, Nicole, for taking the time to speak with us today. I feel like I learned so much about your expansive career. I've been a fan. I'm an even bigger fan now. And I guess just to wrap things up, I feel like a lot of the Nicole Miller designs that you've created are very stylish and empowered. And I'd love to know, since you kind of change your scent based on your mood, what do you like to go for? Or how do you use scent to kind of claim your power and empower yourself?
I think I want to feel empowered, then I use one of my stronger scents. And, you know, it's when you want people to notice you. So, I was just thinking that it is a little dangerous sometimes to overdo it, but sometimes you need to.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, as a rule, I don't overdo the fragrance thing, and I'm sort of more like the light fragrance thing. But I think if you're just going to, like, you know, some place where you want to make an impression, you maybe go a little heavier.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to go for it.
Yeah. They won't forget you.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. This was such a fun episode to do with you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You've been listening to Scent World. For more unfiltered conversations with perfumers, visionaries, and fragrance lovers, follow Scent World wherever you get your podcasts. Scent World is a Scentbird original series produced by Flowship. Today's episode was executive produced by Maria Nurislamova, produced by Mike Giordani, edited by Ramiro Gava, mixed by Alex Roses, production support by Peely Melendez. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.